You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final Hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, soon to be the O-Dog Jeff O'Neill. He'll be back in here in just a moment. Jamie Noodles McLennan. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider in studio later in the hour. Another coach let go last night, Peter DeBoer in San Jose. And he's had a very good run in San Jose. He was in Florida before that.
Yeah, and a good guy. Like, I think he's going to land on his feet. It's just going to be a matter of time. And, you know, I think
the timing of it, though, you got to think, he's not surprised to get fired, but he's probably like, do I have to get fired in the Peters, Montgomery, Babcock?
Right, kinda, bubble.
Yeah,
bubble.
Like, I'm not in that.
I will say this, though. I think the respect that was given to him by Doug Wilson on the firing, saying this is a pure hockey move, that was one of the first things Bobby Mack tweeted out. Everyone was like, it's a hockey move.
Yeah.
And we may almost have to, you know, when we see things, if a coach gets fired again, like, okay, because Dallas was out of left field. Dallas was on a heater, and it still is.
Right.
And.
Well, and it wasn't a tweet. Right. Like, with Peters, right when Akeem Aliyu sent that tweet out, and it started to go viral, you're like, Bill Peters is done.
Yeah, I don't think there was anybody that disagreed. Now, he resigned. He was fired. Regardless, it doesn't matter. The semantics.
He's not there anymore.
Done.
He was gone.
He was done.
He was never going to coach again.
Right.
And then when the Carolina news came out about what he was doing down there, you're like, over. He's done.
Yeah.
Montgomery came completely out of left field.
Right.
Babcock was not out of left field. I didn't think they were going to fire him on that trip. I thought they'd get through the trip. They chose not to.
The timing of Babcock was just, I guess, for us, shocking.
Yeah.
But there was smoke and fire. You could see it.
He was on thin ice.
Correct.
He knew it. He made no adjustments at any point when we all believed that he had been summoned by Dubas and Shanahan and told, you better start changing some things. He didn't.
Right.
And they were going south. They weren't playing well. Hines in New Jersey, that was an obvious fire.
Yeah,
fire.
That's
everyone
clear.
Saw that coming. And DeBoer, I'm not surprised that DeBoer got let go either.
No.
They've invested in a lot of players. They were in a conference final a year ago. They're a team that's better than what their standings would suggest, or clearly the franchise believes there's more there.
Yeah.
And if you're a longstanding coach, you're not going to get rid of Eric Carlson or Brent Burns or whatever.
No.
The coach is going to go.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. And now I guess we wait. You know, what makes it so different and unique, the whole aura hanging around the NHL or the mood of the NHL, is I feel like I'm waiting for a firing more based on, like, abuse
code
or
of
history,
conduct.
Code of conduct.
Well, code of conduct just came out technically. Gary Bettman is, you know, what announced that at the Board of Governors the other day.
Yeah, 3 days ago.
So, you know, the NHL's taking it very seriously, as they should, and they want to head in a direction where there's a lot more transparency. So, you know, I'm fine with it. I think that the culture of hockey had to change as far as some things, and it's headed in the right direction. It's not going to change overnight.
And it's never going to be perfect.
No, and nothing's
ever perfect. We're dealing
with
human beings here.
But ultimately, I'm glad we're watching games. I don't know if I said this. I may have said this the other day on the show last week. Like, you're walking on eggshells and you're on pins and needles because there's stories coming out and it's real stuff. Like, we obviously love to chat, but I like talking hockey too. I like talking all sports and great stories. Like, this was so serious and it was, and it should be talked about and the education should be there, but I also liked it when it's like, oh, hey, the Leafs are playing St. Louis. That's a really good matchup.
Yeah.
Like, I like talking, you know, hey, this is going to be a great game today, potentially against, you know, the Calgary Flames. Like, that's stuff that people want to hear.
Absolutely.
Too.
And I still think that there's more than just a place for it. I mean, that's taking up the majority of the oxygen.
Right.
But there could be another shoe that drops at any point, and
Agreed.
Then that's where we're going to have to go. But you do look at what the Leafs have. Two of the next three nights, like, these are two of the marquee games of the year. at Calgary and Edmonton. Whenever you play McDavid, it's going to be two of the most, you know, 10 or 12 anticipated games of the year.
Sure. And
when he's here and when you're in Edmonton.
And that's a Saturday night game and be a 7 o'clock. Like, you know, it's going to be
perfect.
Right in the wheelhouse. This one.
And because Babcock's out, I do think it changes the approach. Like, he was taking up a lot of the talking space as well. You know,
yeah,
we've been talking
right.
about content today.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, the first 25 games of the year.
He took up all the air.
He took it all up. Like, if they lost, it was what did Babcock do? If he made a opening night, Spezza not in the lineup.
Right.
That wasn't about the captain being named. It wasn't about the season beginning. It was all about Babcock all the time. And now he's out and Keefe is in, and it's a completely different message. Oh. A lot of people don't know that much about Keefe, which is totally fine.
One thing I say about Mike Babcock, he was one of the most overrated like bench bosses, like running a bench. Like some of the stuff he would do as shifts after goals, the lines he would send out. I understand he could put a system in place and he got teams into the playoffs, but some of the stuff was like peewee hockey stuff. Like, you score a goal, you put good players on the ice. The other night, it paid off. They had a penalty kill. Tavares, Matthews, don't kill penalties. Both of them go out there together. What do? They score a goal.
Yeah.
Like, just simple stuff like that.
It seems like it.
He
yeah.
was the most overrated bench coach of all time.
Well, he was also, you know, when he would get, when he would do a scrum, he had his way of speaking. He had his way of communicating.
Right.
And I
yeah,
think
because he, where... for 5 years, he was like, you people in Toronto don't even know what winning is. So whatever I say, you can never question me on it because what do you know? And that's the narrative he took every presser he had. And it was just the Coors Light slow pitch festival.
I'm sure he did that in Detroit, too, in Anaheim. I don't know.
That's
but
just what he did.
He believed in his way of life.
And
right?
if anybody like, questioned, he'd be like, oh, you know,
right.
what do you know?
And he would give you Mike Babcock type of answers. And here's an example of one where I feel they would be approached very differently. All right, Frederick Gauthier not playing again tonight. The
right.
GOAT's been out of the lineup for a while.
Never missed a game under Mike Babcock because he was the GOAT. I love the GOAT.
And if for whatever reason he was out and he was asked, you know, Babcock was posed the question, what does he have to do to get back in? He'd probably say you got to grind. Like, who knows what
yeah.
he would say. But it would be a typical Babcock, be
right,
a good
right.
man, and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yep, yeah.
Here's what Sheldon Keefe had to say about Frederick Gauthier and his current situation not being in the lineup.
What I've talked with Fred about is there's not a lot that he can do, frankly. He was playing fine before. We're just getting looks at different things. I mean, Freddie's been here, and he's been kind of a staple on that fourth line. And we're pretty comfortable with what he can provide. We're trying to see what the other possibilities might be for our group. And, you know, when the time comes and he goes back in, we expect him to just, you know, keep doing what he was doing.
That's honest. It kind of diffuses everything. Like, this isn't about me jumping on Babcock. I wasn't intending of even bringing him in. But I think he would have said something like, just do it right every day.
Right.
It's like, okay. Just be honest. There's nothing he can do. We're not playing him because we want to play Spezza.
Here's what Babcock would have said. Everyone should feel the opportunity to feel good about themselves. Freddie the Goat's got to feel good about himself.
Yeah.
And he's got to have kids because he's a good man. He has kids. And when you have kids, you're a good man and you feel good and you play for food on the table.
Well, I just think it was refreshing would be the right word. He was just honest. We know what he's capable of, but we're looking for something different. And to me, that was cryptic of like,
it was basically
he's not
saying
that
there's guys ahead of Freddie the Goat that can make a hockey play out there and help
us
score a goal.
To me, that's what it is. He's like, he's our 13th or 14th forward.
That's
and
right.
That's where he's going to be until there's an injury.
Well, and you could also argue that message is actually coming from the GM. Like, as much as it's Keefe, it's also Kyle Dubas saying, when I signed Spezza on July 1st, it was to play the fourth line center
right.
with the belief that Frederick Gauthier would be the fifth center and the 13th forward.
Right.
And that's effectively what's happened. Now Keefe has shown up, and he's in sync with Dubas, and Babcock wasn't.
Or maybe it's just smart hockey people having a conversation about something, as opposed to the other guy that was coaching saying, my way or the highway. Ridiculous.
That's how he approached it, right? And he was paid higher and more money than anybody else in league history to do
exactly.
that. And he'll probably get another job, and I think he'll probably double down again.
Oh, for sure.
Anyway, we got a football game tonight.
Yes.
I got a pick on the line at some point between now and 7 p.m. I'm leaning Jets to cover the number. Backdoor cover. I'm leaning.
You're not asking the next guest. You're not allowed to do that. It's
sure
yourself.
You yes, I can.
Or that
you're
guy behind the glass.
Here he is.
Absolutely.
Super Bowl winner, longtime NFLer. Our buddy, our TSN NFL analyst, Jabari Greer. What's up, Jabari?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Well, we're good trying to figure this spread out, man. What do you?
How
what
many
do you,
of your buddies, hey, by the hey, way, listen, ask you?
That's insider information right there, buddy. We can't do that, man.
How many of your buddies call you up and ask for advice on Sundays?
Hey, listen, I actually have about three good ones they call that are consistently trying to get me to organize their fantasy football draft.
Okay.
Their lineup, man. It's one thing. I got three consistent friends that do that every Sunday.
Okay, well, let me see how I can phrase this. Can you picture Baltimore winning 32-16 tonight?
I can definitely picture that.
Oh, Jets covering the number. All right. Okay. Would you play Lamar Jackson for 60 minutes tonight?
No, depending on the score. Now, I was actually just at my son's hockey practice, and we were talking about this. We were relating it. We were talking about good teams. A good team beats the team and demolishes the team that they should be, right? And that is the characteristic of a good team. They don't play down to their competition. They make their competition play up to them, and the Baltimore Ravens, they've been that type of team this year. You know, I saw even last week versus the Buffalo Bills, this is probably the best Buffalo Bills team in the last 10 years, the last 15 years, actually, even when I played. And Baltimore, even though they started out slow, they still consistently move the ball down the field. Baltimore doesn't show signs of slowing down one bit this season. I wouldn't be surprised if they put up eight, if they beat the Jets by 18-19 and had Lamar in there just to have a statement, game saying that we are not taking our foot off this pedal.
That scares me a little bit. 18 or 19. Okay. I look at Jackson short week. You know, you can speak to it. I'm sure Harbaugh down there, he knows he's going to clinch the AFC North, but do you get the impression like the Ravens, they're more obsessed with the top seed in the AFC at this point?
I don't know why they wouldn't be. You know, that's the ultimate goal. But they could do so, those two things, you know, resting their starters and clinching the top seed, those aren't mutually exclusive. Those are things that can work together. I think that, you know, with what they do, you know, they are running football team. Obviously, the temperature is dropping down, so you want to number the amount of times that you call Lamar Jackson on a run pass action. You want to limit the amount of time that you give it to Mark Ingram, you know, around the stretch, but you don't totally take him out, because doing what they do well, run the football, you have to make sure that they get the reps that they need. They take the hits that they need, and they can move the football down the field that they need, because the type of football that they play, if you rest them for too long, the synchronization, the synchronicity of this team could kind of be affected.
With our TSN NFL analyst, longtime NFLer Jabari Greer, what do you see happening with Odell Beckham Jr. in Cleveland?
Oh my goodness, this is what we call nasty banana pudding right here, man. This is terrible. You know, you had Odell Beckham that was glad to get out of he was glad to get out of New York. He finally goes to a place in which he thinks he can resurrect his career. He can make a statement, and since it doesn't work, now he's showing all these signs of discomfort. You know, this to me is, you know, I'm always pro player, guys, and you know, and sometimes I take flack for it. When Odell signed with Cleveland, y'all would ask me, do you think this is going to work? You know, do you think that Odell can mesh there? And I always believe that a player that loved playing the game could play anywhere. But now we see that a player that gives everything he has and does not win is willing to put the blame on everybody else, is willing to, like, just pack his bags and leave. So I hope that even though Odell has another 3-4 years on his contract, I hope that he understands that trying to get out of there, that the public backlash to his legacy, which is what players really want, especially if you want to be one of the best of all time, which I'm sure Odell is trying to be. you know, the hit to your legacy, Odell. You need to be able to go through the bumps and bruises and win where you are right now. So I don't exactly know what his camp is telling him. I'm sure that he wants to win right now because we're in an era in which players have enormous power and they decide, they dictate where they want to go. But I am from the camp, and I'm a big believer that for your legacy, for Hall of Fame consideration, you know, if you don't have a championship ring, you need to be able to be successful wherever you're planted. You need to grow where you're planted. And for Odell Beckham to get back to being the player that he was, that everybody believes he could be, that one-handed catch on Monday Night Football, he needs to show that he can win in Cleveland. That is what I believe.
Staying with Cleveland, what kind of damage control do you think Baker Mayfield would have had to do in the trainer's room when he makes those... it is laughable. I think he's just... The comments are crazy, but when you make those comments, does he have to go in there and pull the training staff aside and explain himself, apologize? I mean, just ridiculous comments.
Yeah, he definitely did. You know he did. I mean, obviously, as a former athlete, man, you never and we were talking about this in the studio. You know, you can call out a player. You know, if Odell wasn't playing up to speed, obviously, if he wasn't playing up to speed, Nick Chubb, you can call those out. You know why, guys? Because those guys can defend themselves. They go out on the field, can put up points. They can do things that will show you they can defend themselves. The training staff, they cannot defend themselves. How do they defend themselves? By getting somebody healthy. Like, it doesn't happen. They don't have a way to defend themselves. So you keep them out of your mouth. Now, Baker Mayfield is, I think that, you know, we've seen this characteristic from him over the last year and a half. You know, started him being confident, right? Before, it was a confident player, a gunslinger, a guy that would say what's on his mind. But now we see when all this shit falls down, when there's a chink in the armor for his organization, that he is willing to throw people under the bus. And believe me, guys, nothing's going to be his fault.
Oh, nothing, I know.
We've all played with players like that. Players that are willing to, that have the so-called moniker of being truthful, being open, you know, saying what's on their mind. But in actuality, when it comes to them, they're not willing to take on the responsibility. That's the thing that bothers me about Baker Mayfield.
That's the host of this show. That's what he does.
Yeah. I will sewer everybody else. Yeah.
Never look yourself in the mirror.
Never. Yeah. I'm jumping on one of those little boats on the Titanic if I have to. I'm getting on those.
First guy.
Miles, it's the grappler. It's somebody. It's a phone. It's never you.
It's not my problem. Not my fault. Great stuff, Jabari, as always. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen.
Jabari Greer, former NFL analyst here at TSN.
By the way, I am sickened the commercial break that I was last here for, the amount of talk about running on cabs. We need to go to church and forgive our sins.
Yeah.
I know. That's totally unacceptable. Well, you guys were the ones that were talking about it.
I know, but you there was other people that didn't chime in during the conversation that waited for commercial break. And they just came with the heat.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and I think one comment was, that was our staple.
Yeah, I believe the word exclusive was used.
Exclusive.
Someone behind the glass there.
One of those filthy animals.
Yeah, if there was no roof on there, it'd get hit by lightning.
Right.
Said exactly. It was our staple.
Come on now, let's go.
Exactly. Get your damn act together.
That's right.
We need to go to church as a unit.
Darren Dreger in studio next.
All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'll lock in my pick for the Thursday nighter tonight. Also, we're tracking the President's Cup down in Australia. We're all over that. And anything that takes place down there, you'll hear it right here with the Golf Insider Report. And it's brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Enjoy all the winter classics at your local Ontario Subaru dealer. Hurry in for great rates and a holiday bonus during the My Subaru Gave to Me holiday event. Smooth.
The grappler's just jamming you up.
That's not the grappler.
a slap on the side of the head when you're not looking by the grappler.
I've read that multiple times, and I just chewed it up. Darren Dreger, a Hockey Insider in studio. What's up, Dregs?
Sounds like me on the Ray and Dregs Hockey Podcast trying to spit out those liners.
I've heard you try to get them out. They're long, man. They're long.
Yeah, there's a Ligaro Jewelers one where they're talking about the cut of the diamond and all of that.
Too much.
Didn't you used to be like a weatherman?
No, I wasn't a weatherman. But I have hosted enough that you'd think that I'd be better.
I thought you were like the host of a weather program in Saskatchewan.
Ron McLean, for God's sake.
What was your first job in this industry?
You were not a sports guy. You were like a weather guy.
No, I was a news and sports guy. But I also did the farm report in Yorkton, Saskatchewan.
What would that be?
You could stick your head up a bull's ass, but you can take the butcher's word. Play it for us. Play the Dreger farm report if we have that.
I'll have to dig it up.
We found it. Exclusive.
Hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
Back to you.
Let's check in with sports. Rick, go ahead.
The farm report.
Oh, yeah.
I guess people want to know about that.
Price of canola, price of wheat.
Yeah.
Okay. Pork. Beef, I had it all covered.
There you go. What's going on? I'm seeing trade requests out there in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, not surprisingly, we've been talking about the Buffalo Sabres and what they may or may not do since the start of the season. I mean, there's been an appetite from Jason Botterill's perspective to add something up front. He's got too many defensemen. So finally, Zach Bogosian, 29-year-old right shot D, just said, all right, well, enough is enough here. We've got to move things along. Bogosian's a healthy scratch tonight. He's been in and out of the lineup. He was hurt early in the year, so he officially made a trade request. That's my understanding, probably earlier today, in fact.
Is that beneficial to come out with it, Dregs, as opposed to doing it behind the scenes where you're like, or does it put the pressure on everybody if you say to your agent, make it public?
Yeah.
Because I want this to be done.
Yeah, you can look at it both ways. You know, there's a negative connotation to it because it's making it pretty clear you don't want to be in Buffalo anymore. But the flip side is he's been patient. It's not like Bogosian's name is new, you know, to trade fodder or Scandella for that matter. And Colin Miller's lumped in. It's just officially Bogosian has made it clear. It diminishes the expected return. But you're talking about a guy who's in the final year of his deal, but he still has a pretty large cap hit at 5.1 and change. Right. So this isn't going to help Jason Botterill's ability to acquire something that matters in return. But, you know, I think you guys have probably been there stages of your career where you're sitting there, you're waiting for something to happen, and you end up sitting in the press box. So what do you have to lose by essentially going public?
I can actually speak on that. That's one I can talk
about. Did you ask for a trade ever?
No, but I've been up in the press box a million times.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, I mean, where would that marketplace be for him, though, Bogosian? Like, is it? It's thin.
He's
got a.
Yeah. He's a healthy solid, scratch.
But he's a solid player, but he has a history of injury.
Yeah.
That would be, like, my concern with him. You shy away because this is a guy who works out really hard. He's a big, thick guy, too. And
unless you're looking at a cost-friendly return, right? So somebody else, every team's got a bad contract.
Right.
You know, and you know, whether another team is a match with depth up front, maybe a player who might be able to squeeze into, you know, Buffalo's top 12, you know, but makes too much money and isn't playing on a contending team or wherever. I mean, it complicates things for Jason Botterill, but you know what? I guess Bogosian's looking at it thinking, what do I have to lose?
Sticking with Buffalo, where would Jack Eichel be on your MVP ballot? Like, if the ballot was issued tonight.
Top five.
Yeah, he's in the conversation.
Good, like, he's no dragging question. Them but along.
I was going to say, like, we haven't brought him up at all, but I watched him about three times doing some stuff in pre-scout for Buffalo, and man, he's fantastic.
Like, he's got 44 points.
But you forget, he's got 21 goals or
20? 20 goals. He hit 20.
14-game point streak, I think.
Yeah, like, he is a fantastic player. Yeah.
You look at Draisaitl, you look at McDavid.
McKinnon.
And then Eichel's right there.
Yeah.
I mean, Pasternak and Marchand or whatever.
Yeah, somebody on Boston for sure.
Could you throw Johnny Carlson in?
I was just going to say, John Carlson, like Norris, but this could be MVP. Like, John Carlson's putting up numbers. I saw a board last night where the amount of games he's played and the amount of points, it was like Bobby Orr, Bobby Orr, Bobby Orr. Like, it was that type of crazy numbers.
Yeah, he's on pace for over 100 points.
The thing for Eichel is for him to stay relevant in that conversation, and we've seen it in years past, the Sabres can't fall off the map.
Yeah, they got to keep going.
Because if they pull that stunt they pulled last year where they just go right in the tank, it's game over. It won't even be talked about.
No, he'll become irrelevant, sadly. Like,
and Taylor Hall, the year he won the Hart Trophy, as good as he was, the main reason, obviously,
they got in. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. You're right.
And you look at the top 15, like point getters, the turnover, it's been gradual, but it's there in terms of the youth. Like, you're talking McDavid, Draisaitl, McKinnon, Pastrnak, Eichel, Huberto, Barkov, Matthews, Svechnikov's been unreal, Pettersson, all of them in the top 15.
Yeah.
Like, they're all under 25. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or 25 and under.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, it's not a surprise. And there are other vets in there. Kane's doing it again. Ovi's up there.
But they're all coming into their own. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Then that's, I think, an important distinction with Jack Eichel, especially. And you can, you know, kind of apply the same thinking historically to Nathan McKinnon. And, you know, sometimes their star players almost, as soon as they break into the National Hockey League, the expectation is off the charts. But it takes them a few years to mature before they can
Craig
fully Button understand.
Will tell you time and time again, they wondered at times if Mike Modano could just be, is he going to be just a point producer, a guy that skates really fast and his jersey flies out in the back and it's puffy and it's all that stuff, or can he be a guy that, and it's the same with Jack Eichel. Can he be a guy that you can win with, or just a guy that produces points?
Yeah.
And the jury's still out.
Yep. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider in studio. You were out at the Board of Governor meetings.
I was.
What was the mood like out there? It's been a weird month in the NHL, man.
Well, you know, it was okay through Monday. You know, when Bettman came out and he unveiled the four-point program and walked everybody through, the reality is, aside from maybe having a beverage or two with a couple of the governors after that, they didn't speak publicly on the matter, but everybody was very supportive with the initiatives that the National Hockey League is introducing. But then things turned snarly early Tuesday morning when news broke out of Dallas that Jim Montgomery had been let go. And where it got a little sketchy, to be fair, and I understand it in terms of the semantics and the lawyer speak, but Bettman was specifically asked on Monday night if there was anything else that they knew of that could be coming. And he flat out said no. Well, they knew that the Montgomery thing was percolating and that they would have known Monday that he was going to be fired. But the Montgomery situation doesn't fall under that umbrella of the four-point program, so it wasn't their information to provide. But things took an interesting twist, and then you had Shanahan come out later in the day, obviously, and said what he had to say.
What I don't understand about, like, you talk about Bettman and the four-point program. Like, Ray Ferraro and you discussed, Ray had some great ideas about that stuff.
Yeah.
Would they never want to invite him down to something like that and say, we'd like to pick your brain and see what you have to think? Like, why not get as many people as involved into the game, whether it's him or Brian or you or just to pick their brain? Would they ever do something like
that? I think they do, though. I'll let you know.
They do to a degree, but...
Like, Ray came out with that. He was basically the first one to come out with that and talk about it. And wouldn't they say, hey, why don't you join us in Pebble Beach, and we'd like to hear what you have to say.
Well, I mean, among the 4 points, Ray knocked it out of the park on probably two or three of the 4 points.
Well, no kidding. Where do you think they got that idea from?
Well, and there would be those who are close to Hakeem Aliyu and that camp who would also suggest that when they met with Aliyu and his legal representation in Toronto, they being Bettman and Daly, that a lot of the points that were introduced, you know, by the league on Monday, were also discussed in that meeting. At the end of the day, your point is well made, and I do think that, you know, Bettman and Daly and the Players Association, to some degree, they do spend a lot of time gathering information, but I don't know that they did this time around, but I think that some of it was so painfully obvious that they could introduce that maybe they didn't feel the need to go that deep.
I personally thought it was quite powerful. Like, I pay attention to the Board of Governors meetings, and, you know, I like the key points coming out, but you could tell, I mean, you were right there. I feel like you could tell Bettman was pissed. Like, he was saying, like, we don't like, and, you know, that's basically putting everyone on notice, like, hey, we don't, you know, in years past, everything's been just dusted under the carpet, and we don't want to see anything, you know, keep it in-house. And deal with it yourselves. Don't embarrass the league. to me, it was like, I'm letting everyone know. I want to know your dirty business so it doesn't come back to bite me in the ass.
And look, there's a follow-up to that now, and we talked about it on Insider Trading tonight. And the follow-up is that, so that was announced on Monday. Already the league has seen a considerable amount of activity coming from the clubs reporting situations. Now, I'm told none of it is bad, but they heard the warning. And what'll be interesting is if the National Hockey League ever has to dispense that severe level of discipline to the club that doesn't report one of its inappropriate incidents or conducts, because it'll be a hefty fine. You know, it could be a manager, a coach, team personnel losing their job. It could be hockey operations related. Imagine losing a draft pick because you were too dumb to report that there's some shenanigans going on a couple of years ago that, you know, might eventually get exposed. So we're just, you know, we're going to come clean or we're not going to come clean and the league finds out. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sounds like Bettman wants to be, like, how would the, I guess the Peter DeBoer firing isn't, Bettman's not getting called on that.
No.
Do you let the office know we're about to fire a prominent member of the
I don't
league?
Know that I mean, it's essential, but I would think as due process, just as a courtesy call, they might do that. But, that, you know, again, just as, if we look at the five coaches who have been let go, and I think it's an important distinction. The only thing that links these coaches is the calendar, is the block of time that has passed. Babcock got fired because of a directional decision by the Maple Leafs, not because of what happened or didn't happen with Mitch Marner in his rookie year. You know, the only two are, of course, you know, Bill Peters and Jim Montgomery were let go for inappropriate conduct. The other guys are hockey-related decisions. But how sad is that? I'm doing NBC last night. We're going into the first intermission, and literally I'm about to sit on the chair in the chair beside Catherine Tappan a minute and a half before airtime, and news breaks that Pete DeBoer has been fired.
Right.
Now we got to scramble to confirm, and the first words out of my mouth are, he was fired for hockey-related reasons. Now you got to qualify
when
a coach gets fired as to whether or not it was wins, losses, or is there something shady in his background.
It is a shame, but we were talking about this earlier, Dregs. Like, I almost, now I'm bracing myself. The next time I hear a guy's fired, it's probably because of something he did 3 years ago or something or he's done recently or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that there won't be hockey-related firings. Of course there will be. They've been around for 100 years. They'll be around for the next 100. But where we're at right now, probably more likely something's going to get dug up or a tweet's going to come out about someone, and here we go.
To that point, here's my bigger fear as a hockey fan now, right? And Bettman, when asked, you know, is there a statute of limitations on time? How deep are we going back here, right? Well, God forbid, but there are a number of legendary coaches that aren't necessarily involved club by club anymore. They've long since retired or whatever. So this coach who coached in the 70s, all of a sudden somebody, you know, says, hey, you know, this is what he called me, you know, in the 70s. And God forbid it's racially motivated, because there's no way to condone or advocate or defend that.
Right. How many kids have you seen get drafted, and then somebody goes through their tweets, and when they were 12 years old?
Well, Bennington last year.
The Leafs suck, or the Habs suck, and it's like somebody digs up a tweet when they were 12 years old. Look at this tweet from this guy.
Yeah, I know, but that's our world now is a fishbowl, and you have to adapt to it. What he's saying, you know what my first thought process when I saw, you know, when you mentioned it, but I've heard people talk about going back in the past. Think of the legendary. Do you think Scotty Bowman may have? And again, this is one of the greatest coaches of all time. But do you think he may have swore, or you know, said or done something? I'm not saying racially. I'm just saying.
No, but he's been coaching
1,000 years. So do you think that somebody may not have liked him? It doesn't make it right. But that's kind of what you're getting at. Right?
That's 100% what I'm getting at. And then if you fast forward to today's coach, who's been around the game a long time. I talked to a coach yesterday who said, I've demoted over 900 players in the National Hockey League during my career. I don't know what I said to all of those players all the way through. I'm pretty sure I didn't cross a line. But, man, if one or five of those 900 decide that, you know what, He derailed my career. He didn't give me a chance.
Yeah.
And he said this that one day, and I don't like it, and I'm coming out. Like, yeah. I'm telling you, that as much as I support the notion and the idea and the safety and the process behind the anonymous hotline, that's the one thing. Those are the things that worry me a little bit.
I don't think you can do a hotline. Like, what if the hotline number gets in the hands of somebody's buddy that's been out? It just gets
they're
going to vet them, I guess.
You do need to have, and there's investigations. It's not just you clean out the hotline on a Sunday morning and Bob
everyone's guilty.
Bob from Stouffville is called in and he's got the number and tells a story. Like, wow. They're going to go through the process, but I agree with it. But I think what you're saying, there could be some friendly fire. Unfortunately, some stories coming out.
Well, and look. To go back to Ray's point on the podcast, it will be and it has to be run by an independent.
Right.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't have someone with stake in the game that could be affiliated one way or biased one way or the other. All right, Dregs. Good seeing you, man.
Okay, guys. Have a great weekend. Dregger, this is my Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're out of here.
Oh, I got to do first up in the morning. But other than that, I'm gonzo.
Okay.
Enjoy yourself.
Well, make sure you, what time are you on?
I'm going to be sick 3 days next week, too. I'm going to have this new folks.
He missed 2 days.
Yeah, I did. I should have missed three. Today's the only day
Masterton
I should have been
trophy.
Back.
Yeah, I saw that.
The Elmer Fudd. Have you seen our Elmer Fudd?
Yes.
The Elmer Fudd, the Fudd Award.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hand those out pretty liberally. We're only giving away two more trips before Christmas for TSN 1050 Superfan Spring Break and Ultimate Hockey Vacation, courtesy of BookSeats.com. Join Toronto as they take on Tampa and Florida down in the Sunshine State, including round-trip flights, four nights accommodations, and tickets to both games in late Feb. To enter, you follow us on Instagram at TSN1050 and at BookSeats.com. Again, follow both accounts on Instagram and go to TSN1050.ca for all the details. BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. Get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine next. All right, our poll question brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. Thinking about the football game tonight where Lamar Jackson, he's a little bit banged up. It's a short week, but he's going to start the game. He's going to play. But we're asking people, if you were the Ravens and John Harbaugh, who would you start, RG3 or Lamar Jackson? 51% of the vote saying RG3. So it's basically a coin flip. I'd start RG3.
There's nothing to prove.
You're playing the Jets. You're going to beat the Jets. RG3 can still give you something. He's not Lamar Jackson, but he can play.
Right. Maybe Lamar wants to pad some MVP stats.
That is
the king daddy topper.
What you got to wonder is... And you understand why he'd be like, I want to play. Like, I'm dying. Yeah. I got to get that MVP. He's a second-year player.
If I was his coach, I would hear this argument. Crush them in the first half and get your stats, and then you're done.
Yeah.
Do your thing, and then you're done.
Yeah, I agree.
The poll question brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. Custom team uniforms and logos at prices to suit any budget. Play like a pro, look like a pro. JerseyFactory.com.
Because you know in that league what he's doing to guys, making guys look stupid? It's the same as Connor McDavid. Somebody can't wait to get their lick in and to just take him out.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to take him out and say, you're not doing that to me.
But that's,
we've had enough.
That's what you got to ask yourself, though. Like, if you're the Jets, can you motivate your team? They're done too. They're 5-8. It's over. Do they care enough to go chase him around all night? Do they have enough pride or do they really have some bite? Like, the spread is 16.5.
That is massive and so appropriate.
It should be 16.
What's the biggest spread you've ever
seen? By the way, what is your pick?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to here. The biggest I've seen in college football, you get some that are 44.5.
But I'm like, I'm talking at the NFL level. What's the one? Uh-oh. What's going on here?
This is like a WWE moment. I actually wasn't expecting that. I feel like JR here. Or I'm like, who is the king? What was his name?
Ted DiBiase.
Jerry Lawler.
Oh, Jerry Lawler.
I'll give you an out. If you don't like Al's pick, you can go on your own.
Okay. Al's brother, you're on the
16
clock.
16.5.
I'm going to take the Jets on this one. I think the Lamar Jackson injury makes it a little wishy-washy. I think that RG3 will get some playing time tonight, and that should keep the score a little bit tighter.
Do you see a backdoor cover tonight, Al's brother?
No, like I think it'll stay pretty tight pretty much the whole way. I don't think it'll be a backdoor or anything.
The Jets have won 4 of 5, but they played terrible teams. Terrible.
The worst of the worst.
And the one loss, Cincinnati. But they barely beat Miami. They beat the Giants. They beat Washington. They laid a beating on Oakland. All right, I'm taking it. I like
wow,
it.
Wow, he talked you into
talked
it.
I'm on the Jets tonight. Imagine betting the New York Jets against the best team in football in Baltimore.
I think you're crazy.
Well, I'm taking them. Al's brother.
By 16.
Yeah, you're not changing now. You locked that
in. 16.5.
They're going to win by 16.5.
Yep.
So you're going to lose.
Did we ever find out who was sitting courtside with Kawhi Leonard last night?
With the like, one ticket?
Did you see him walking around with one ticket before the game?
Yeah.
He had one ticket.
But he was giving it to, like, the handler or something to take.
We got to find that out. Someone he had to hook up. But
telling you. It was.
Anyway.
It was his dry cleaner.
It was. I'll bet you it was something like that. Yeah. Like a someone who hooked him up with exactly. something in the past. But.
From the Mac store or something because he had a MacBook Pro that needed fixing.
Right.
It was one of somebody from the Geek Squad.
That's it for Kawhi, unless they both get to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
They've already played him twice. And
it was a good night.
It's over. Yeah, well, I mean, they got smoked, but.
Yeah, I mean, not the game.
Right. But I thought they handled it appropriately.
They did a great job.
We addressed it, you know, in the 4 p.m. hour. We talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
Typically Toronto, we appreciate them, showing support. Not, you know, no booze, no callousness, no people freaking out. And now he's gone, and all right, let's move on. We're 16-8. Let's see what happens.
Exactly.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the props tonight, over the number, Lamar Jackson passing completions. Over the number, Ingram, total rushing yards. Under the number, first half points. Throw it out 20, you can score 101. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Leafs Flames tonight. I was looking at that kid. He just got kicked.
No, that's it's top five like incidents or something like that.
Okay. I was wondering.
That was from a long time ago, and he deserved to get kicked.
I remember. It was at a
took the ball.
An EPL game. Yeah. And they were Oh, did you see that?
Yes.
Okay. Leafs Flames tonight. We're out of here. You can hear it on TSN Radio, watch it on TSN 4. We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clearout sales event is on now. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Includes $300 bonus cash.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.